It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. A very good morning to you, Martin.
And to you, Kalani.
Thank you very much. Well, Eskom has drafted an African energy strategy with the primary focus of opportunities in Southern Africa, Martin.
Yes, they finalized this draft strategy for Africa, which they've been working on for some time. And it does turn out that they are looking more firmly into Southern Africa. And that is because some of the opportunities are here, not only for them to be getting involved in generation in Africa, but also equity. And they're looking particularly at Mozambique and these two near-term hydropower projects, which they would very much like to get involved with. We know that we've been getting power from Cahora Bassa for many years now, 1,500 megawatts for a long time. Unfortunately, due to problems, that's been cut down to 900 megawatts at the moment. They're trying to push that back up to 1,500 megawatts. But there are also two new addendums to hydropower there, which could mean that we could lower our carbon footprint in that we're getting in energy that is not related to coal. So obviously they're keen on that. But there's also a bigger picture emerging in Africa. As Eskom is thinking Africa, so are the heads of state taking decisions now on 15 new projects worth $40 billion US. So maybe the two minds will come together. Of course, our cabinet will still have to decide on the strategy put forward by Eskom, because the government, of course, is the sole shareholder of Eskom and it calls the shots. But we know that these 15 projects are coming up in Africa now. Between now and 2020, you know, 9 hydropower projects coming through, 4 big transmission projects coming through, 2 petrol pipelines coming through. And when you look at Eskom's particular capability in transmission and design, you think, well, they really could play a role when they're talking about this link from Egypt to South Africa and the links in transmission from Angola to South Africa. So I think we need to watch this space.
Interesting indeed. Well, hundreds of minibus taxis, Martin, are now equipped with LPG kits that cut pollution and lower operating costs.
Yeah, this is something that's being promoted by the Automotive Industry Development Center, the ARDC, and also the Department of Transport. You know, wanting an LPG addendum, they've been talking about it for a long time. You know, initially they said, well, taxis in the inner city could be LPG taxis, and they would obviously have a lower carbon emission, and this would be good for the city. But it doesn't really work like this, because taxis go into the city and out of the city, and you need them to be able to switch from one to the other. So we've got 32,000 minibus taxis here in Gauteng, and 300 of them have now switched over to this conversion kit, where they can go to liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, and also, you know, the normal fuel through an automotive conversion kit. So the Automotive Industry Development Center has called for expressions of interest to manufacture these LP kits locally, because at the moment we're getting them in from Poland, from DT Gas Systems, and they cost about 20,000 rand a system. So it's a bit off-putting, because they've got a program now that although the first 300 are done by February 28th, another 110 taxis will have been done. This is still a small percentage. Just over 1% will have been done. But it shows the direction that they want to move these taxis in, because it does lower the carbon emission, does lower the operating costs, and it can create a bit of an industry. And DT Gas of Poland is quite willing to partner local manufacturers so they can make these kits locally. And the AIDC, which is the Automotive Industry Development Center, they're moving with the Department of Trade and Industry, the Industrial Development Corporation, to try and provide funding for local manufacturers who are interested, and also help them to finance the infrastructure that will be needed, and particularly the skills.
And the small diamond miner, Rockwell, is thinking out of the box, and we need this, and allowing small-scale miners to get a share of the action on its mining concession. We need people who will think out of the box.
Martin. Exactly, we do. More thinking out of the box, the better here. And we know that, you know, miners are often looking over the fence. We saw the illegal mining activity. We know there's a lot of illegal mining in Africa, not as much in South Africa, but we are seeing it here. And people say, well, look, why aren't you mining that property over there? You know, you've got this massive concession, and, you know, the miner will say, look, that's not economic for us. You know, the volumes are too small. So, you know, Rockwell, which is listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange and the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, is saying, no, look, let's create some space. I mean, we are also a small junior miner, but let's make sure we create some space for the even smaller operators, because, you know, one person's meat is another person's poison. And they are saying there are pockets they've got on their land which they don't want to mine, because they know it's unprofitable, because their overheads are such that it's not going to make a profit for them. The volumes are too small. But bring in the small operators, and they've already appointed 4 of these. One is already operating. Another should be operating by the end of this week. And that is that these operators, they will foot the bill for the equipment that they use. They will foot the operational costs. But, you know, the company, Rockwell, will come in and take the diamonds that they produce, market those diamonds. Also, they will train them, give them the land. They will give them the land, you see, because that's the big issue. They will allow them to work their land, and then they will take a little bit of a royalty from that. So it's a sort of a win-win situation, and they'll do this in Klipdam near Kimberley and also Tirisano in Northwest Province. And of course, we always associate Kimberley with diamonds. We don't always associate Northwest Province. You know, you think of high green millies, you know, coming from Northwest Province. But this Tirisano mine is quite an interesting one because it's got the smaller bridal diamonds, which are higher volume diamonds. And those do very well in China, particularly with engagement ring demand and all that sort of demand always continuing, whether there's a recession or not a recession.
People are getting married.
So you can still have that pull. And so they are bringing in these four operators, small-scale operators, onto their concessions, onto their land, and hoping that they may even be able to get more in time.
Fantastic. Very, very interesting indeed. Martin Krumo is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday. Thank you very much, Martin.
It's a great pleasure, Kalani.